the fourth Sunday of Lent, which is just past the midpoint of Lent and the beginning of the new section of the Lenten season, is sometimes referred to by its Latin name, Laetare Sunday. Laetare means rejoice. And that's why we use the rose-colored vestments and the altar cloth. It's a symbol of rejoicing. It has nothing to do with the election. Now, if it seems strange to emphasize rejoicing in the middle of Lent, which is, after all, a season of penitence, of self-denial, if it seems strange to us, then it might mean that we need a reminder that the reason for all our penance and all our prayer and sacrifice is not to make God love us, it's because God already loves us. We are the ones who need to change, not God. We are the ones who are outside the Father's house, either in a distant country or in an attitude of distance from God. Well, why should we rejoice about that? We shouldn't. That's not the good part. The good part, the hopeful part, the reason why we rejoice is that God is merciful to us when we are outside his house. That's why we had in the psalm tonight, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. That's why we rejoice, because God is good and loving and merciful. So what we need, if we think we can't rejoice during Lent, what we need is a reminder of how merciful God is. Now, I know we have lots of things on our minds. There's a troubling war going on in Ukraine. The election is drawing near. The pandemic isn't over. Just before coming here to the church, I got news about Taal volcano is restless again. We have lots of things on our minds. But we're here in church now. This is our one opportunity of the week to set aside these distractions and burdens and focus on God and on our relationship with him. This is much more important than the things that usually preoccupy us. And today's gospel will really help us. This is the great, the beautiful, the famous parable, the most famous parable of the prodigal son. I know everyone knows it. Ang talinghaga ng alibukhang anak. Now, I suppose it gets that popular name because the younger son, the prodigal son, is such a colorful figure, and he's so much more interesting than his brother, his judgmental kuya, his self-righteous older brother. But even though we call it the parable of the prodigal son, it should be clear to us that that son is not the central figure of the story. The key to the whole parable is the father. If you take the father out of the story, there's no story at all. So the key is the father. And this parable, this great parable, it gives us a precious insight into what God our Father is really like. And this is not just somebody's story, not just someone's imagination, something made up for our edification. This vision of God comes from Jesus, his son. This story comes from the only one who really knows the Father, who knows him perfectly, and whose mission is to reveal the Father so that we will know him and love him. If we want to know God, we can't find a better source than Jesus Christ. And if you want to know what Jesus says about the Father, you can hardly find a better example than this parable. In the Catechism, it says about the parable of the prodigal, only the heart of Christ, who knows the depths of his Father's love, could reveal to us the abyss of his mercy in so simple and beautiful a way. So what is God really like? He's not a far-off, uncaring creator. He's not a devious spy. He's not a cruel law enforcer. He's not a rigid judge. He's a loving father. He's generous. He's concerned about his children. In fact, he's more concerned about them than he is about himself. He seems to have no concern for himself. With no judgment, with no anger, with no condemnation, he waits for us to come home, to come back into his house, to join his celebration. He welcomes us with great joy. He pleads with us if we're outside the house. He gives us everything he has. Knowing this is what should make us rejoice. That's why this is a Sunday of rejoicing, Laetare. Because Jesus is revealing the Father. Now, not only does Jesus know the Father, he also knows us. And he knows the different ways we tend to go astray. He's really speaking about us here. These two sons represent two ways, two foolish ways of relating to God the Father. One way is to run away from him, as if we're better off without him, as if we're better off far away. That's the example of the younger son. And the other way is to stand in proud self-righteousness, as if God owes us more than he has given us. That's the attitude of the older son. One son represents us when we are caught in sensuality. The other son represents us when we are caught in pride. The two main categories of sin, sensuality and pride. So one son represents us when we collapse in sin, and the other son represents us when we exalt ourselves in sin. So when we listen to this parable, we should be able to say, oh, he's talking about me. He's talking about me and the Father. If you can't say that, you're missing it. Now, most of us, when we think of the worst things we have done, we know that we are the prodigal son. But if we can't think of those things, then we're the older son. And if you don't know which one you are, you're probably the older one. Because the older one is the one who thinks he doesn't have any sin. But we are all these two sons. If we're not one or the other, then we're both. So, how do we know that these two sons represent two categories of sinners? How do we know that Jesus is really addressing us here? Well, the very beginning of this gospel tells us, this is what it says, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, tax collectors and sinners, younger son. But the Pharisees and scribes, older son, began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. He's really addressing it to the older son. So whether we're caught in obvious and self-destructive sins, like tax collectors and sinners, or we're caught in more subtle, spiritually destructive sins, like the Pharisees and the scribes, the answer is the same. Or the solution is the same. Come back to the house of the Father. Come back. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Come back to the embrace of the Father. Don't let shame stop you. Shame about squandering his gifts with your sins. Don't let anger stop you. Anger about how God treats other people better than he treats you. Don't let your own sins stop you. Don't let anyone else's sins stop you. In a sense, it doesn't really matter which son we are. The only thing that matters is our relationship with our Father. If we think we are, or if we can be his hired servants, or if we think that we have no choice but to slave for him and obey, well, then we don't really know him. And we don't really know who we are. You see, at the beginning of this parable, neither of the sons knows the Father. They know who he is, but they don't really know him. They don't really have a good relationship with him. And at the end of the parable, and neither one knows what it means to be a son either. At the end of the parable, the younger son has discovered who the father is. Extraordinarily loving and merciful. The older son is still outside the house. We don't know if he will enter. Who's stopping that older son from coming back into the house? He's stopping himself. The father's not stopping him. The father is pleading with him to come back, come inside, join the celebration. But he's stopping himself. You see, sinners are not rejected by God. If we are not in the Father's house, it's our own fault. Now let's go back to where we started, this whole idea of rejoicing. We are being invited to rejoice. Letare, rejoice. If we want to rejoice, we have to discover once again the mercy of the Father. That's the whole message. The mercy of the Father is the reason why we rejoice. Let me add one additional thought here. One of the best ways to discover the mercy of the Father is to make a good confession. In Lent, we should all go to confession at least once. I've heard many, many confessions. I've been a priest for more than 20 years, and I know this for sure. People who make a good confession rejoice. Everyone leaves the confessional rejoicing. They feel free, they feel happy, they feel like they got something off their chest that they wanted to get rid of. They feel forgiven, they feel embraced by the Father. It's a great experience. So don't miss it. People who refuse to confess, for whatever reason, they remain burdened and unhappy. So come back to the house of the Father. The Father is waiting for us to come back. He will rejoice to welcome us home. He loves us. That's why we rejoice.